Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
those of us that have not lost a son or daughter,
we just don't have the faintest idea of what you're going through. But those of us that has lost spouses, husband and wife, we can relate. We can relate on that level. But in spite of, we're praying for you and with you on this evening. And may God bless you and keep you is our humble petition. All right. I want to thank all of my guests. I want to thank all of my first-time listeners. I want to thank my friends and my Kingdom Congregational Assembly. I want to thank my kinship family and business colleague and all of you that are able to listen on this evening. I won't be before you very long on tonight, but I just had to get on here and just send out a word to those hurting families. I mean, you know, I'm not doing anything that important that I can't take the podium and send condolences out to those that are hurting on tonight. Oh, Lord, I'll tell you, but I want you to know that you're not alone, like I've already far spoken, that you're not alone. And I want to welcome all of you to the chat room. It's up and it's available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. Hallelujah. And so I'm scheduled to be with you, I think, about an hour and a half. And I hope to stay on, we try to stay on task with that if God says the same. And we're going to have, at the conclusion of this program, we have what we call a dial-up prayer request line where you can call in and submit your prayer petition, and Overseer Janice Ward will touch and agree that God will honor your prayer petition. And so at the conclusion of this program, you will be alerted when the call in, and I'm going to give you that number, and that number is 646. I'm going to put it up. It's 646-230-74, and that is the number in which you can call in to the prayer request line. So at the conclusion, like I said, you can call in with your prayer petition. And I just want to put up, I'm going to welcome all of you, you know, because I know time was of an essence and I didn't have time to just post everything. But I just wanted to post the most important thing, and that was the program that you're tuned into, and that is Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And so I just thank all of you. I want to thank all of my continual loyal and faithful listeners. And God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. I just want you to remain, hallelujah, just remain positive. Remain faithful to God, and God will remain faithful unto you. And so now we're going to go on into our opening prayer. And so I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together, God, in unity once again, God. Hallelujah, around the spectrum. Father God, when you went away, you said that you're going to prepare a place for us. And when you return, that you will receive us unto yourself. But until that time is upon us, God, we will continue in your will and in your way. We will continue moving upward and onward, hallelujah, in the establishment of God. We will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, God, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that are hurting unto thee. Hallelujah, those that may then again may not know of you in the pardon of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom. To each and every one, hallelujah, that are hurting in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your glory, we won't take your praise. But we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God and his people say, Amen and amen. All right. So now, without any further ado, we're going to take you on into a live program that's already in progression. Hallelujah. So a theme on tonight entitled, Death Cannot Divide Us. I want to say that one more time. Tonight's sermon entitled, Hallelujah, Death Cannot Divide Us. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that we have loved ones that have went on before us. But that is not the end. We know that even at the judgment seat of God, we will see those loved ones again. And if we live right down here on earth, we have an opportunity to reign with God and to see those relatives again. May it be our husband and our wives. May it be our parents. May it be our grandparents. May it be our uncle and our aunts. May it be our niece or our nephew. It might be a health provider, a doctor, a lawyer. May it have been a business colleague. Those that are near or dear unto our heart. We can see those individuals again. If they made preparation for their souls and you are doing likewise, you have come out of the world and you have been separated and you have gave God your life, then you will be able to see those loved ones again. And this program tonight is geared toward those parents and fathers and those husbands and wives and the first responders and all of those that had an impact and a part in saving more lives, hallelujah, on that dreadful day of the shooting that happened in Parkland, Florida. This program is dedicated to you on tonight. And our hearts, once again, go out to each and every one of you and your families. And we're praying with you and for you. And so we know that in this earthly life, we will go through trials and we will go through tribulations. But God had promised us and he had alerted us that as long as you and I are on planet Earth, we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and we don't know what the label behind the trial is. If it's the death of a loved one, the tragedy of a loved one, the health of a loved one, maybe going from good to bad in health, maybe going from bad to worse in our mental faculties. We don't know what our trial and tribulation in this life will be, but God has guaranteed you and I that God will see us through, not some of us, some of them, not part of them, not pieces of them, but God will see you and I and us through all of our trials and tribulations. God said he will see us through them all. So God is with you tonight. I want you to lean on God. He's not going to fall over because you're leaning on him. But God is a firm foundation. We can lean on him when we can't lean on nobody, when we can't lean on our parents, when we can't lean on our husband and wife, when we can't lean on our sons and daughters, when we can't lean on our colleagues, when we can't lean on our doctor or our lawyer or our health provider. We can lean on God. So I want you to lean on Jesus on tonight. Cry on his shoulder. Let him cradle you in the cradle of his love. Let him cradle you in the bosom, hallelujah, of his glory. God is a spirit. And God tells you and I and us, those who worship me, and that's God, must worship in spirit and in truth. So we're going to read our first key scripture on tonight. And it reads this. It says that Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. All right, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to go to our next key scripture, and it reads this. God comforts us that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. And that first key scripture that I just read, I'm going to read it to you once again. I'm going to do a recital of that first key scripture. And it reads once again like this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, coming out of the law of John 11 and 25. All right, we're going to go on to our third key scripture, and it reads this. Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord. The Lord God is my strength. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Habakkuk 3 and 17 down to 19. So we are talking about death shall not, will not, cannot divide you and I and us. And so we know that the writers and the philosophers have done their best to marshal weighty arguments in favor of the life after death. They have not succeeded in bringing comfort to aching and anxious questioned heart. But Jesus, however, does not fail to satisfy you and I and us. He bring forth no philosopher, hallelujah, and he does not try to prove the reasonableness of immortality. He simply declares it. He speaks of what he knows and answers with the authority of heaven. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. This resurrection has two aspects. The bodies of believers will be raised, and their spirit will also live on in heaven. What does this mean, you might ask, Overseer Ward? This means for grieving Christians who believe loved ones who have died. Death does not sever our love for them. For love belongs to the spirit and not to the body. And when those we love go on a long journey, their thoughts can span the distance as though it were a step, and their love enfolds you and us as though they stood beside us. So it is today with our deep departed ones. So I want to ask you on tonight, are you sorrowing over one who has been called to heaven? I want to encourage your heart and let you know that Jesus promises that we will be reunited one day when God give us back our precious loved one. And so we know that when from the death God raised his son, he gave our souls a living hope that they should never die. And so we know that Christ has replaced the dark door of death with the shining gate of life. And we know that those loved ones that has departed on before us, we shall see them again. And God said in his word that those that die in Christ shall rise first. God also tell us that when God appear, every eye shall see him and every knee shall bow. God also tell us that when God appear, the angels will be with him. Also, our loved ones, those that are saved and sanctified and filled with God, precious Holy Ghost, precious Holy Spirit, indwelled in them, they shall see God in all of his glory, all of his omnipotent power. You shall see your loved ones, hallelujah. And so this is the beginning of the end. This is not the end, but this is the beginning of the end. Hallelujah. We know that after this life, there is another life. And God tell us that on that great day, he said that there will be a book, and there is another book. And that book, my sister and my brother, is the book of life. That is the book that will determine yours and mine's destination, where we will spend eternity. And God said that we shall be judged accordingly to the deeds, hallelujah, that is done into this old mortal body. We shall be judged. And God said, may they be good or may they be not so good. We shall be judged. And I want you to know that there's no little sin and there's no big sin. You say, well, Overseer Ward, that 19-year-old that shot my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew, my granddaughter, my son, my husband, my wife, my uncle, my aunt, my colleague, my business partner, he should get the death penalty. He should get thrown under the jail. He should get the death penalty. But I want to let you know that there's no big sin or small sin in God. Sin is just sin. So whether you shot somebody from a rifle, from a pistol, whether you stabbed them with a knife, whether you hit them with a blunt object and you killed them, we know that sin is absolutely nothing but sin in the eyes of God, because God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So even though we are thinking on our little psychological level, God is thinking on a holy deity level, a level that will blow our brains out. We couldn't even comprehend on the level of God thinking. So we know that God does not think like man. But God will do the judging. He said, I will do the judging. So we know that man can judge down here on planet Earth to give an individual the death penalty, give him life in prison, give him 50 years, 300 years, whatever the charge with reference, then that's what the judge would hand down. According, they will have a trial, and there will be a juror that would determine the individual's fate of either life in prison without the ability of parole or the death penalty. And then you still would sit on death row for a number of years before you would come up for execution. But on the spiritual note, God is one that would give the individual his sentences, whether they may have been done, and turn right around and give his or her life to God, and then have an opportunity to see God, not only to see God, but have an opportunity to spend eternity with God. You say, how is that be, Overseer Ward, when this individual just slaughtered my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my niece, my nephew, my grandparents, my uncle, my aunt, my business colleague, my health provider? How can that be? That can be for the simple fact that that individual was in sin when he committed that horrific act of injustice. But on a spiritual note, that individual can get down on his knees or her knees if they have any needs. Because if they don't have any needs, then there's no way that they can get on their knees. But they can pray and ask God to forgive them of all of their sins, the sins that they committed, even murder. Like I said, it's no big sin or no small sin. Sin is just sin in the eyesight of God. Man is the one that put sin, which in the eyesight of man is not sin, but it is a crime. It's a crime in the eyes of man. So in man's law is crime, but in God's law is sin. So when that individual asks God to forgive him of the sin that he had committed, whatever it is, then God automatically forgives that individual for the wrong that he has committed. And now that individual have an opportunity to live and reign with God forever and ever. Now, you see how the flip side of that coin is? Now, right now, you know, us that are weeping, we are weeping with the ones that are weeping tonight in Parkland, Florida. We are weeping with those mothers and those fathers and those sisters and those siblings that are in mourning on tonight. But I'm just setting the stage to dissect and let you know how God's rule applies. Man has his rules, and God has his rules and his bylaws that we are to honor and obey. You said, I just can't see how that individual that did this to my loved one can get off so easy. Well, he's not getting off in the eyes of man. He's not getting off in the eyes of God. But he has asked God to forgive him. And when an individual asks God for forgiveness, then God, being the gracious God that he is, and he said that he forgives all matter of sickness and diseases, he heals all matter of sickness and disease, I'm sorry. But he forgives all sin, matter of sin, you know, whatever sin he's committed, if it's adultery, if it's rape, if it's molestation. You know, if it's robbery and murder, whatever that individual has committed, when he come to God and he come before the throne of God and ask for the redemption of his sins be removed, then God has to honor his word. Now, like I said, come back to man's law, which is earthly law. Then that individual will either be given the death penalty or life in prison without the possibility of parole. That's the only thing that the individual can get. Now, sometimes they can put them out there with population with other individuals that, you know, have angerment toward this individual because of the horrific act that he has displayed. And they can try to harm him in there. Or he can become so distraught and so depressed of the act that he has committed until sometime, you know, he might try to do harm to himself or herself, you know. So they have to, in spite of what he done, he's still human. And he has to be watched over just as well as a person that has not done anything. So an innocent person, you know, they would keep a watch over that innocent person that did nothing but, you know, maybe just got a ticket and went to jail. You know, they put that person, you know, in a specific cell where no one can harm them. Where this same individual that has done this horrific act, they have to protect him as well. Because they know that it might be an individual that want to do him harm. So like I said, there is no big sin, and there is no little sin, but sin is sin. But like I said, the sermon on tonight entitled, Death Cannot Divide You and Us. So our loved ones that's gone on before us, they're in their sleeping chambers until God have that roll call on that great day. And all of those that has died in God. So that means that all the saints that have gone on that were saved and that was filled with God, Holy Spirit, they will appear with God when he comes. And then those that didn't have an opportunity, let me clear that. I'm not going to say didn't have an opportunity, because that's incorrect. Because before you die, you have an opportunity to give your life to God. Because God will not allow you to go through this life without knowing who he is. By mouth, by radio, by magazine, Bible, by airway, by cassette, by DVD, by album. Maybe what they used to make the 33 and the 45 with. What they used to call that. But anyway, like I said, God will not allow you and I to have an excuse on that day and say, well, Overseer Ward didn't tell me about you, God. She didn't tell me that you loved me. She didn't tell me that I could come to you and ask for forgiveness and that you would forgive me for all the sins that I have committed before thee and that I had admitted that I was a sinner and that I had done wrong in the eyes of God. Overseer Ward didn't tell me that. My mother didn't tell me that. My father didn't tell me that. My godparents didn't tell me that. My adopted parents didn't tell me that. My aunt and uncle that raised me didn't tell me that. There will be no excuse in that day. So like I said, those that die in Christ is going to rise first. And they will be with God when he come back after the bridegroom, which is the church. And those that declined to give their life to God, that means those that did not want to have a personal relationship with God, will rise second, or they will rise next. But God's saints will rise first. So God said that those that are last will be first, and those that are first will be last. So when God appears, the saints will go be with him when he comes. And then those that decline to have a relationship with God will rise next. But it will not be an excuse in that day, because God said that his word is going to go forth throughout the earth. It will not be one stone upon another. So his word is going to go through every crack in every crevice of this earth. You're going to hear about God on the TV, on the radio, on the internet, through mouth to mouth. So verbally, you will hear about God. You will not be able to stand before God and say, God, didn't nobody tell me about you? God, Sister White didn't come by and pick me up to carry me to church. The pastor didn't come by and get me. The first lady didn't come by and pick me up. My neighbor didn't come by in the church van and pick me up and carry me to church. In that great day, there will not be room for an excuse. But getting back to our theme on tonight, and that is death cannot, shall not, will not divide you and I and us. Because we will meet again. In that great getting up morning, your son or daughter will get to see you again. So this is only the beginning of the end, because after this life is another life. God said there will be another heaven and another earth in that new Jerusalem. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. There will be a new heaven and new earth. You will get to see that beautiful son or daughter that you lost down here on planet Earth. You'll get to see that grandson and that granddaughter in that great getting up morning. Hallelujah. You'll get to see that loved one that has gone on before us you'll get to see them again. And if you want to reign with God and you want to see those loved ones throughout eternity, then you're going to have to make a change in your lifestyle. You're going to have to give God your life. Because the God said that only the pure in heart shall see God. There will be no liars up in heaven. There will be no thieves and robbers hanging around up in heaven. So God says, don't lay your earthly possessions down here where thieves and moth can eat at your goods and your treasures. But lay your treasures up in heaven, because there will be no thieves, nor will there be any moth that can eat away at your spiritual treasures up in heaven. So it behooves you tonight to get to know Jesus. You're going to need him. You're going to need him because you're in mourning on tonight. But it's a process. So, I mean, even after you lay your son or daughter, your niece or nephew, your grandson or granddaughter, your husband or your wife to rest, it's still a process that you're going to have to absorb on a day-to-day basis as you go through your daily itinerary of going on your job to your workplace, going to see the doctor, going around friends and family. You won't help but to think about the fresh memories of your son or your daughter or your niece or your nephew, your grandson or your granddaughter, your friend, the one that was on the football team, the one that was on the cheerleading team, the one was in your science project, science class, your coach that coached the football team, that coach whatever subject that you had at your school site. That loved one will continue to linger on in your mind. And you need God to help you in this area. You can't do it alone. You say, oh, say what? I don't need anybody. You know, I can do this. But I'm here to tell you, no one lives to him or herself, and no one dies to him or herself. You say, Overseer Ward, I don't need nobody. You know, I got everything I need. I got a nice condo. I got a nice apartment. I got a nice mansion. I got many mansions. I have a nice duplex. I'm sleeping under a bridge. I'm all right. I'm in a tent. I'm all right. I'm on a corner. I'm all right. I'm distributing drugs, paraphernalia. I'm all right. I'm cool. I'm distributing marijuana. I'm all right. Amphetamine. I'm all right. Heroin. I'm all right. I'm doing all right for myself. I don't need nobody. But I'm here to tell you, no one lives to themselves. Have I just forestated? And no one lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Because when you die, as you have already seen in your family circle of friends and loved ones that you have attended their funeral services, you have attended the chapel, you have went into the chapel and you viewed their body. Maybe you didn't want to go to the church service, so you went to the chapel and you viewed the body on the night that they had the viewing. And you know that that individual could not open up their body and take out all of the, draining the blood and all the stuff that they do in, you know, the mortuary sector of the body. Because the body goes to the mortuary and they drain all the blood and they do what they do to the body, you know. I can tell you some of the stuff, but I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, you know, because I, too, had got into funeral services at one time, and that was, you know, I thought that was going to be my life career, but God changed me and took me over into another different dimension. So he took me into ministry. I had a nephew that died at the age of 38 years old about 2 years ago. He was a mortician. And his mother, which was my sister, died. And he had to, you know, get his mother ready. I don't know what part he played. I wasn't there, so I can't just say what he did, because without being there, I would just be speculating. So I don't want to speculate. But I would just say he might have had a hand in maybe, you know, doing her clothing or maybe her face makeup or maybe her hair or maybe placing her jewelry on her body. I don't know, you know, if he was in a position mentally to be able to, you know, do what the mortician has to do with the body when it come from the morgue. See, it come from the morgue. Morgue, that's like the lower part or the basement part of the hospital. It goes into a morgue. Then they remove it from the morgue, and when you and I set a date for the funeral services, then it goes to the funeral. Then a funeral does what they have to do to the body. And then they dress it. The family send clothes, whatever you want that loved one to be laid out in, whatever garments, dress, suit, you know, pants suit, you know, whatever that you carry up there. You say, this is what I want my son and daughter to be laid out in. Then they will honor your wishes, and that's what they will put on your loved one. So my nephew was a mortician. And when his mother died, my sister, I don't think he really got to really weep because, you know, he held all that in. He was such a well-mannered young man. I never had the opportunity to see him even sweat, to get mad or angry or, you know, just lurk out at someone. You know, he was just always so cool, calm, and collected. So I think he might have died from a broken heart, but he was only 38 years old. And he died, I think that was in 2014, wasn't that long ago. He was only 38 years old. So we don't know when death might knock at our door. But like I've already far stated, that this is only the beginning of the end, because after this life is the next life, and that's the life of eternity. So you have to choose today who you're going to serve. The Bible says you can't serve Satan, Lucifer, our adversary, and God, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, at the same time. The Bible says you're going to love one and you're going to despise the other. But if I was you, and if you want to see that loved one, if you want to see that loved one again, I would encourage you on tonight to give your heart to God. It's time to change over. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. I don't know. I can't look into a magnifying glass or a microscopic. I don't have any microscopic lenses. I can't look into the future, but I know what the Word of God tells us. And that is that those that die in Christ shall live and reign with Christ forever and ever. And, you know, those that decided that they don't want to have a personal relationship with God will spend eternity in everlasting darkness of fire and brimstone. The Bible says that fiery and bottomless pit. And what I mean by bottomless, because it does not have a bottom. There is no end to hell, but it's everlasting. is throughout eternity. And you know, you might say, Overseer Ward, that's ludicrous. I don't believe that. Well, I'm here to tell you, we have some witnesses. The rich man is a witness to that fact. Because the Bible says that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The rich man tried to send word, said, go tell my people, go tell my relatives, go tell my sisters and my brothers, my cousins, go tell my aunts, my uncles, go tell my grandparents, go tell everybody that's kin to me, don't come here. He tried to send word, he tried to get the word, and he tried to send the beggar. He tried to send Lazarus to go and spread the word. But he said, no, no, they're not going to send him because, you know, why should he go and spread the word for you to your family when you did him so wrong? You didn't even want him coming at your gate. He was an embarrassment. He was an insult. He was a sore eye coming at your big fine mansion, begging for your scraps, your crumbs. You didn't give him a chicken leg. You didn't give him a wing. You didn't give him a T-bone steak. You didn't give him a pork chop. You didn't give him a hamburger. You didn't give him filet mignon. You didn't give him caviar. But you gave him crumbs that fell from your table. And you despised him for asking you for the crumbs. I dare you come at my big fine gate. I'm living in a gated community. And you're trespassing coming up to my gate and begging for my crumbs. Why should you be at my gate? I have intentions to give my crumbs to my dog, to my hogs, to my animals. So the rich man is the pudding in the proof. He's the proof in the pudding that hell is real. This is not fiction, but this is a fact. Hell is real, and eternity is long. So, if you want to see that son or daughter, that niece or nephew, that grandson or granddaughter, that business colleague, that good friend, your best friend, your cousin, then you're going to have to change the script in your life. You're going to have to cross over and get on the Lord's side. But I tell you what, you'll be glad that you did. Because you can go home and you can go to sleep. The devil is going to torment you day and night for the loss of your loved one. See, the devil comes to steal and to kill. You said, steal what, Overseer Ward? Steal your mind. Steal your mind. Steal your sanity. He comes to bring confusion. He comes to break up your happy home. He's a home wrecker, as I always say. He's a home wrecker. He don't lack peace in any family circle. But he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's his M.O. every day. He do not take any breaks. He do not take any lunch breaks. He do not take any 15-minute breaks. He do not take any vacation time. But he works around the clock, 365, sometimes 366 days out of a year. He never gets tired of breaking up homes, happy homes, breaking up marriages, breaking up those that engaged to be married. He'll take your engagement. You said, honey, we've been engaged for 5 years, 10 years, 2 or 3 years. We've been engaged. We're finna get married. Don't you know the devil can come through there and he can destroy your engagement? He can tear that all to threads. He can wreck that and kill it. He can have another woman looking at your man. another man looking at your woman. That's the way the devil works. That's the way he operates. He don't lack happiness. Happiness is a hatred in the eyes of Lucifer, in the eyes of Satan, in the eyes of the angel of the wind, of the air. But that's the same thing, air and wind. But God said that I come that you might have life. Not that we might not lose a loved one in this life. That is not what he's saying. But God said, I come that you might have life. And that you might have life more abundantly. So I want to encourage your heart on tonight. That if you don't know God, now's the opportunity to give God your life. Wherever you're standing, you're kneeling, you're squatting, you're sitting in your lounger, on your sofa, in your chair, in your office, in your room, at a restaurant, you can ask God into your life. Go to God and admit, God, I'm a son and I've sinned. Yes, I have. I've done wrong. But I want to make it right. I want to see my son and daughter again. I want to see my niece and nephew again. And I want to make it right. Your daughter and your son had an opportunity to meet God before the death angel came and taken them away. Your husband, your wife had an opportunity to have a relationship with God before the death angel came and taken them away. So we have no excuse. We have no excuse. But if you want to see that loved one, the Bible says that death cannot, will not, shall not divide you and I and us. For after this life is another life. Hallelujah. And if you chose God as your Lord, as your Savior, to spend the remaining of your years that you have left here on planet Earth in serving God, telling others about this God that you have met, and they too can meet him too. They too can have an introduction to who Jesus Christ is. They too can have a personal relationship. You will be able to see your son and your daughter again. I want to encourage your heart on tonight. God allowed me to come across this airway with a word to encourage your heart and your soul tonight. Because I know you're hurting, and I'm hurting with you. I'm hurting with you. I grieve with you on tonight. I cry with you on tonight. I mourn with you on tonight. I love you on tonight. Wherever you are, I love you. Wherever you are on planet Earth, I want you to know the Overseer Award love you on tonight. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I just, oh Lord, I'm so sad for your loss. So sad for your loss. My heart is broken along with your heart. My heart is broken with your heart tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God loves you tonight. And God wants to cradle you in his loving arms. He wants to put his arms around you. He want to pick you up and carry you spiritually. God can carry you. God want to wrap you in his cradle of love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So see, you had a loss and God has a loss too. That might have been your only son or daughter. Jesus was God's only son. God said that he sent his only begotten son. He didn't have another son. He didn't have another daughter. He didn't have a niece or nephew to go in his son's place. But he had only his only begotten son, and that was Jesus Christ. It had to be somebody that was spotless. It had to be somebody that was holy. And Jesus was the only one that fit that criteria. So I want to encourage your heart tonight. death cannot divide you and I. Cannot divide your loved one tonight. You can see them again. You can see them again if you choose God as your Lord and Savior tonight. Hallelujah. Death cannot divide us is our theme on tonight. And our scripture reading came out of the law of John 11 and 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, though he may die, he shall live. That scripture reading once again, coming out of the law of John 11 and 25. And our next key scripture reads this. God comfort you and I and us, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 1 and 14. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You know, we find out that we know that God comfort us that are in any trouble. And then he able, you and I and us, to be able to comfort those which we ourselves are comforted by God. We learn from God and what we've learned about him is that our families have been touched by the comfort he has brought us through his word and his people. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that God work of comfort through his tragedies. Hundreds upon hundreds of individuals. They are sending email across the internet. Loved ones through letters and through posts, through photos, through songs and hymns and maybe paintings to express their sympathy, their love, and their appreciation. God brought you and I comfort, and that you and I may share. God brought others comfort, and they may share in their love. God's people have shown how his ministry of comfort works. We thank you, God, for your caring for us. If we've been comforted by God, we can have a part in the incredible ministry of comfort to others on tonight. The comfort God has given us, he wants us all to share with others who with broken hearts are caught in deep despair. Those who have suffered are best able to help those who are suffering. In ending, I hope and I pray, I've said something to remind your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prepositions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital, Worldwide Ministry. This program has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Your host, moderator, has been Overseer Janice Ward. Send your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Hallelujah. Now we're going to open the dial-up prayer request line. If you have a prepetition that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree in your prepetition that you have placed before God, you are encouraged to call in at this time. And that number again is 646-200-3074. 646-200-3074. Now is the time to call in with your prepetition. We're going to give you just a few more minutes to see if anyone desires prayer on tonight. And this program tonight has been dedicated to the families of the tragedy that occurred in Parkland, Florida. Our prayers and condolences goes out to each and every one, to the responders, to the parents, mothers and fathers, uncles and aunts, grandparents, cousins, best friends, teachers and faculties there on that school, my mind is so, I'm so heavy tonight, but on that school campus, I'll say it like that. I tell you, my heart is grieved to see all of those beautiful little human beings' lives being taken so early, and they just began. That husband, that wife, that will be without the spouse, be without their son or daughter on tonight. Our prayers are with you, and our condolences goes out to each and every one. So if there will not be any call-in dial-up prayer petition on tonight, we're going to turn you over to our second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion, Uplift Your Spirit and Encourage Your Heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. You're encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. Up next, Hymns of Zion. God bless you. Until we meet again, you be blessed. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Right. I'm still got my choice. You Thank you.